I mentioned a little while ago that we might find it necessary to make one or two changes in Buddhadatta's translation of this verse. Now, the word which he translates as monk is not really monk in the original at all. I mentioned before that some English translations of some Pali words are very, very misleading. And this word monk is one of them, because really in Buddhism there's nothing resembling the Western conception of a monk at all. And the word in the original text here, which Buddhadatta translates as monk, is muni. Muni can mean monk in a way, can mean bhikshu in a way, but not necessarily. A muni, really, essentially, is a wise man or a holy man. And therefore, very often, the word muni is translated as sage. For instance, one of the titles of the Buddha is the Shakya Muni. The muni, the wise man, the sage of the Sakya tribe, or the Sakya clan. Muni also means one who observes a vow of silence. We're probably going to have a little silence later on in the retreat, so perhaps it's appropriate that we mention this now. So muni is also one who observes a vow of silence. In Sanskrit and in Pali, as in the modern North Indian languages, mauna is silence. So muni is one who is silent. And it's rather interesting that there is this sort of association of ideas in the original, which is full of suggestiveness. It suggests that the wise man is the silent man, or that the silent man is the wise man. The wise man doesn't talk too much. And in some translations they render the word muni as the silent sage, so as to bring out the double meaning of the word. One who is wise and one who is silent. Whether wise because he is silent, or silent because he is wise, or both, it may be difficult to say. It is incidentally rather interesting that this word, muni, is used in this particular verse, because it goes to show that the verse is very, very ancient. You probably know that some parts of the Buddhist scriptures are more ancient than others. And some scholars are of the opinion that the word muni was the first word to be used in Buddhism for the ideal man, the emancipated or enlightened being. According to some scholars, the first word by which the ideal man, the perfected man, was known in Buddhism was this word muni, the sage, the silent one, or the silent sage. This term, according to some scholars, was in use before the term arahant. In standard Buddhism, in basic Buddhism, the general term for the disciple of the Buddha who is enlightened, who has gained nirvana, gained emancipation, is arahant, the worthy one. But apparently in the earliest texts of all, such as this verse and some passages of the Sutta Nipata, the emancipated person, the ideal, the perfected man of Buddhism is called the muni, the silent one, the sage, or the silent sage. Now this is just as it were by the way, but I think if we look at the original text and bear in mind this other meaning of the word muni, that it isn't just monk, it's the sage or the silent sage, we can translate the verse in a different and probably in a better way. Instead of translating, "so let the monk move about the village," we can also translate, "so let the wise man live in the world." In this way we get a much broader and a more universal meaning. Let's go back to the whole verse and read it again in this light. "As the bee takes honey from the flower, leaving its colour and fragrance unharmed, so let the wise man live in the world." This gives a much better and much fuller meaning, not restricted to the monks or those who are technically monks, but applicable to everybody who lives in the world.